Turn your Bibles with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We're continuing our study through the book of 1 John. Just a reminder, after the sermon this morning, we're going to observe communion, the Lord's Supper. And so just stick around a little bit longer after the sermon, okay? 1 John chapter 2, we're going to be in verse 7, and we're going to read down to verse 11. Verse 7 through 11. Let me get my spectacles on here. It says in verse 7, it says, "Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Have you ever taken a test that you dreaded? You know, ever taken a test that you really dreaded taking? I know some of my kids, when they've had to take a test, they get all anxious about it and get all worked up, and they're really not looking forward to taking it. Well, I understand that. Tests are something that we don't enjoy taking generally. I came across some tests, though, some test questions that I would really dread answering. For example, try this exam question for a history class. Describe the history of the papacy from its origins to present day, concentrating on its social, political, economic, religious, and philosophical impact on Europe, Asia, America, and Africa. Be brief, concise, and specific. That's a brutal exam question, isn't it? Or how about the final for a medical student? You have been provided a razor blade, a piece of gauze, and a bottle of scotch. Remove your appendix. Do not suture until the professor has inspected your work. You have 15 minutes. I don't want to take that test, that's for sure. Here's one for an engineering student. The disassembled parts of a high-powered rifle have been placed in a box on your desk. You will find an instruction manual printed in Swahili. In 10 minutes, a hungry Bengal tiger will be admitted into the test room. Take whatever action you feel appropriate, and be prepared to justify your decision. That would be extremely difficult to do. And those are hard exams. But tests sometimes are necessary. Tests sometimes are necessary. But they are unpleasant, but they are necessary sometimes. Let me give you this scenario. And this actually happened to me more than once, but I think it will help us understand our passage today and the tests that God wants us to take. You follow deer tracks deep into a dark swamp. It is a cloudy night, and as night falls, the woods becomes extremely dark. You try to find your way back to your truck, but you find yourself walking into thick patches of brush, so impenetrable that you have to turn around. Briars tear at your body, at your legs, at your arms. Branches are slapping you in the face as you're going through the woods. You step in holes and fall down. Then your mind starts thinking about the prospect of spending the night in the woods. Finally, after walking a little bit farther, you see a street light. And you find the road, and you come out onto a lighted road. Here's the test. Do you go back into the dark woods to find your way home? Or do you follow the lighted street to find your way home? I hope you answered, follow the lighted path. Because that's the correct answer. I hope you chose walking down the lighted path. In our passage today, we are given a test that encourages us to walk down the path lighted by Jesus Christ. As we learn about the lighted path in this passage, it will test whether we are walking in the light of Jesus or if we are walking in darkness. So let's take a look at this passage and see if we are walking down the lighted path of Jesus Christ. I want to call your attention back to verse 7. Verse 7 says, "Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining." Now look at the first part of verse 10. It says, "He who loves his brother abides in the light." Now, first of all, when you are walking down the lighted path, your life will reflect Christ-like love. When you are walking down the lighted path, your life will reflect Christ-like love. Now, I want you to notice the word brethren here, the first word we see in verse 7. John's audience were people that had been taught to walk down the lighted path. These people had been given the instruction of Jesus Christ. They had been given the instructions of the apostles. They had been given the instructions in the Old Testament. This was a command that they were familiar with. However, false teachers had arrived on the scene with their, quote, new ideas about their relationship with the Lord that were contrary to what had always been taught. These false teachers were basically saying that their behavior did not affect their relationship with God. What John is saying is that our relationship or walk with Jesus will affect our behavior. And that is a clear distinction. So, when we have a true relationship with God, when we are walking in the light of Jesus Christ, one of the demonstrations of someone walking with Jesus is Christ-like love. Now, Josh McDowell said this, "I believe two of the greatest fears people struggle with today are the fear that they will never be loved and the fear that they will never be able to love. Christianity is all about meeting those needs." I want you to understand that today. Christ wants you to have the capacity to love others, and he wants you to be in contact with other people that are exhibiting Christ-like love towards you in your life. That is what his will is for your life. That is what Christianity is all about. Now, it may seem like a contradiction to say that this is an old commandment and then say it is a new commandment. But as we look closer, we will see what is being conveyed by God. First, the command to love one another has been taught since the Old Testament law. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, it says, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So we see here that in one way, the command to love one another is an old commandment. It's been around a long time. But when Jesus came to the earth, he demonstrated what it meant to love in a way that transcended the known meaning of love. Think about it for a minute. When Jesus Christ came and sacrificed his life, not only for those that he cared about, not only for those that cared about him, but for his enemies, he sacrificed his life. He showed love for others as they mocked him and spit on him and ridiculed him. He took love to a whole new level that had never been seen before. In Jesus Christ and the cross, we see love displayed by God that transcends what we had thought in the past about love. That's what we need to see. We need to see when Jesus sacrificed his love on the cross, not only for those who were kind to him, but also for those who spit on him and mocked him. It took what we know as love to a whole new level. Jesus Christ died on the cross, bore the sin and shame of all the world, everyone, so that we could have a relationship with him. Think about that for a minute. All the pain, all the suffering that had been put on him because of what others had done, not him, but because of what others had done, and he still went to the cross. He still sacrificed his life. He still showed them love like they had never seen before. That is amazing. Do you realize that? Do you realize that Jesus Christ sacrificed his life, showed amazing love for you, even though you had hurt him greatly with your sin? I hope you realize that. I hope you've asked him to forgive you of your sins and come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior, because that's why he died on the cross, so that he could have this reconciled relationship with you. That's how much he loves you. And that's the kind of love that we are talking about walking in. That's the kind of love that God wants us to demonstrate in our lives. This is what makes the commandment new. So with Jesus setting the new standard for love, he gave us a new commandment. John 13, the Gospel of John, chapter 13, in verses 34 and 35, say this. This is Jesus speaking. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. So Jesus sets this standard of love that has never been seen before, and now he commands all that follow him to display that same kind of love. Now that is a pretty amazing thing to think about. Now this is why it says in verse 8 that this commandment is true in him. It's true in him. So this kind of love, this commandment to love this kind of way, can only be displayed and followed if we are abiding in the light of Jesus Christ. That's what we need to see here. So the love we are commanded to display is defined as Christ-like love. Only as we walk down the lighted path with Jesus can we display this kind of love to each other. Now, I want you to notice something. I want you to notice that this is a commandment to love this way. So, to love this way doesn't come from a feeling we have inside. Okay? To love this way, to love like Christ loved us, doesn't come from feelings. It comes from obeying the command of Jesus, from following Him, from regarding your relationship with Him so much that you obey the command to love like He loved. Now, feelings may come as you obey. The feeling of loving someone may come as you display that love and follow the will of the Lord for your life. It may not. But understand, it has nothing to do with feelings, but everything to do with you following the will of the Lord for your life. And that is where you get your peace. Not as far as a feeling, but your peace comes from knowing that you're doing what Christ has commanded you to do. Only as we walk down the lighted path can we display this kind of love. You may say, I've been hurt by too many people to love like this. Well, remember, with every command, God gives His grace to enable us to accomplish it. I'm not asking you to do this by your own self-determination. And neither is Jesus. I'm asking you to do this through your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because this really is going to show you where you're at with your relationship with the Lord. Can you, in spite of it being extremely difficult and going against your feelings, obey the Lord? Can you do that? If you can, you have reached a milestone in your walk with the Lord. If you can obey Him in spite of your feelings, in spite of the hurt that you've had, in spite of your desire to not do it, and you still obey Him, you have reached a wonderful place in your relationship with the Lord. Now, I hope you'll see that some people are easier to love than others. You know, some people are easy to love, right? You can think of whoever you want, but it might be your grandmom or someone like that. They're easy for you to love. You know, they give you cookies when you come over. They feed you. They're always nice to you. They're always kind to you. They're easy to love, right? You don't have any trouble loving them. But then there's people that really push your buttons. That they, everything about them almost sets you off. Makes you upset, causes feelings of anger in your heart. Those people, to love those people the way you should, will really shape you in the image of your Savior, Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, those are the people that we ought to be grateful to God for more than anyone else, because those are the people that Jesus is going to use to shape you into His image more than anyone else. Understand that. You may wonder, why did God bring this person into my life? But wonder no more, because the reason is clear. He's going to use that person to bring you to a closer relationship with Jesus and help you be something you never imagined you possibly could be. To help you grow in your walk with the Lord to a level not known to you before. That's why sometimes we take tests to see where we are, right? In whatever we're doing. Well, God sometimes brings these situations into our lives to show us where we are in our walk with Him. And as He does, I hope we'll respond with obedience to His command. Because if you will, I promise you, you will be better off because of it. And you will grow in your peace and in your joy and in your understanding of this world, of others, and your relationship with God. Isn't that what we try and pray for others? Isn't that what we learn in Ephesians? To pray for others? That they would be enlightened. That they would increase in their knowledge and understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that they would be strengthened in their inner man. This is how it's done. By observing this command to love one another. Not like we feel like loving, but loving the way Christ loves. Christ-like love. That is what God wants for us today. That is what He wants us to display. Now understand, when we display this kind of love, when we display this kind of love to one another, it shines a great light into the world. It shines a great light, and this light, we're told, is already shining, and it continues to shine, and it will shine in us if we follow the commandment to love one another as Christ has loved us. That's what really makes the difference in our witness to the world. When people can come to Beacon Church and see that we love one another, even when we're not so lovable, then we have really witnessed in a great and mighty way to those around us. That is what I'm talking about. That's what this scripture is talking about. Christ wants us to be a light that shines. He wants us to be this way. But the true light that shines will happen when we love one another like Jesus loved us. It reflects a light that shines to this lost and dying world. I hope you will consider loving others like Christ has loved you. It's the way to peace. It's the path of light. It is the path that will keep you in the light. Now, look at verses 9 and 11. It says, "He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness until now." Verse 11 says, "But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Now understand this about walking down the lighted path. Bitterness and hatred lead us away from walking down the lighted path. Bitterness and hatred lead us away from walking down the lighted path of Jesus. Now we are given a clear distinction between walking in darkness and walking in light to help us stay on the lighted path. When you find yourself harboring feelings of hostility and anger towards someone, when you treat others unkindly with your words and deeds, or when you withhold showing Christ-like love out of bitterness, you are walking in darkness. Understand that. Abraham Shanklin said this: how many people have been driven out of the Christian community by hatred they have experienced from other Christians or that we show to other Christians in their presence? Think about the damage that is done. When we fail to love each other through Christ, we actually set a trap for each other, a snare that ultimately drives people out of our churches, broken, hurting, and disillusioned. That is what happens when we continue to harbor bitterness and hatred in our heart towards anyone. Because here's what happens. It just doesn't stay between you and the person that you have that bitterness towards. It's like a cancer that affects your whole life and every relationship you have, including the one you have with the Lord. And so you have this bitterness towards someone and you're trying to be friends with another person, and because of that, your relationship with this other person is hurt as well. And you can see how the damage is not just localized to you and that person that you have the bitterness with. It spreads, and it does harm to the kingdom of God. And we ought to be concerned about that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be taken care of. That's what he tells us. So, our bitterness and hatred not only leads us away from the Lord, from the lighted path, but can also lead others away too. If you have displayed bitterness or hatred towards someone, you need to repent and get things right with that person so you can walk down the lighted path. You can't be at peace with Jesus if you are not at peace with others to the extent that is in your control. You need to do what you can to be at peace with others, to reconcile any wrongdoings that you have done towards them, or anyone that you have bitterness towards, regardless of whether they want your forgiveness or not. You need to be able to give it so that you can stop a cycle of cancer in your relationships with others. Ray Stedman once told of a counseling with a woman about a physical problem, which really had a spiritual basis in her experience. He discovered she hated another person and had hated her for years. She told him the circumstances, and undoubtedly she had been treated unjustly. But the thing had eaten like a canker in her heart for years and years. Hate had turned her bitter and rancid and had poisoned all her thoughts. He said to her, "You must find it in your heart to forgive this person, as God has forgiven you." She looked at him and said, "I can't forgive her. I'll never forgive her," he said. He said, "But God says you must." She said, "But I can't." He said, "If you can't, then you need to face the fact that you are not a Christian. Because if you can't forgive, then you've never been born again." She looked at him and said, "I guess you're right. I know I am a Christian, and I see I have just been deceiving myself. I need to forgive." And she did. There came a change in that woman's life, which was like turning from night into day. And that's what I want you to see. I want you to see, through Christ-like forgiveness and love, you need to reconcile with those you are bitter against. If you refuse to do so and can continue in your bitterness and hatred without remorse, do not harbor any thought that you are a true follower of Jesus Christ. Understand that. That's what the Bible is teaching us here today. I'm not making this up. This is exactly what we are being told in this passage today. I don't want any of us to stumble, and neither does the Lord. So he said in verse 10, he says, "He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him." So finally, when we walk down the lighted path of Jesus, you avoid stumbling like an unbeliever. When you walk in the light, you can see what is before you. That is what we need. You're not blinded like the one who walks in darkness. You know, every night, I shut the lights off before I go to bed, and I have to walk from the living room to the bedroom. It gets kind of hairy sometimes because the kids leave stuff on the floor and everything kind of gets in the way. I hit my shin and fall over the footstool that we have near the rocking chair. And it's hard to get to the bedroom in the dark. We shouldn't have to walk like that in our spiritual lives. We shouldn't have to walk in the dark. We never have to. We always have the choice to stay on the lighted path. Stay on the lighted path. That is what Christ wants us to do. He wants us to dwell in the light, abide in the light. But we must choose to walk in the light of Jesus Christ. Don't let bitterness and hatred cause you to stumble in the darkness. Remember what Ephesians chapter 4 in verses 31 and 32 say. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, forgave you. That's what God wants us to do. I hope you will respond in obedience to this commandment.